anyone can hear this transmission, we are in Long Beach. We have survived, and this transmission is called Nerd's Eye View. This is the 192nd transmission coming to you on the 15th of July. Is anyone reading me? This is Andrew. Anyone out there?
And at the bottom of the 10th, it's the Cardinals 7, the Hello. Brewers 3.
Who is this?
I'm Harry Carey.
What are you doing?
This is a baseball game. And now a word from our sponsors.
Wait.
Are you not having that not so fresh feeling?
How are their commercials? Everyone's dead.
Anyone? How can there be commercials when everyone's dead?
I think you got onto one of those infomercial channels. I've been hearing it coming on my radio for a while. I just leave it on. It makes me feel better.
On this episode of this Prairie Home Companion.
See, there it goes again.
I knew they were pre-recorded.
My name's Jordan.
I'm Matthew.
And we have with us today, Justin.
Hello.
Who has been on before?
Yes.
I was thinking,
Ouch.
How many times?
Ouch.
I couldn't remember if it was more than one.
Once.
Okay.
So this would
be and the be one. The last, apparently. After.
Yeah, with that attitude.
Jeez.
I'm so hot right now.
Wait, it's a nice summer day.
It is like 20 degrees cooler as opposed to last week. But
the apocalypse does that.
Yeah. And it's still humid though. Yeah, I noticed how wet it is in the apocalypse.
Yeah, right.
I want that apocalypse.
I was thinking during the movie because it's like raining constantly. Like, you know what? If just everyone stopped driving, and then 10 years went by, all those emissions no longer filling up the atmosphere, the global temperature would go down.
Makes sense. Check that, Snowpiercer.
That we're going to talk about.
Everyone needs to stop driving their cars.
We're going to review is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
And I heard on podcast today, actually, why was it Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and now it's Dawn? Shouldn't Dawn have come before Rise?
You know, that we'll talk about.
Because what does the word Dawn
mean? They both have to do with, like, the sun, right? Like a sunrise. Yeah. And then Dawn. Don't they both mean the same fucking thing?
What I'd like to... just off the top of my head, though, I would almost say that it shows good faith that they weren't thinking of, like, making a sequel because they just named it Rise. They were just That's like, true. Screw it, we're going to throw this name on it. And then afterwards, they're like, we kind of screwed ourselves.
I don't know what to call the next one.
Is this still beginning?
Yeah.
Is this their
still
incredible...
Still rising, Planet of the Apes.
Hannibal still rising.
Yeah.
Is this their, like, the Incredible Hulk, you think? Like, there's Hulk, and then there's the Incredible Hulk.
No. But have you've seen both?
Yeah. No. I've never seen the Incredible Hulk.
You're making a very wrong... Because the Incredible Hulk actually keeps the Hulk as canon.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Right, that's what I mean. So, yeah, like, these apes are canon.
All apes are canon.
But see, this is more of a direct sequel. Like, the Incredible Hulk is so different. It still treats the movie like it happened.
Yeah.
But it's different actor, different feel, different everything. Like, this is... It very much feels like a continuation
of the
first movie.
Even though it is a different director. And we're not even to the review yet. Look at us go.
Okay, we gave it 4 stars.
Okay, but we will talk about that later. Before that, we're going to talk about...
news.
This is Nerd's Eye View episode.
At the beginning is news. But news. Then, I was trying to go backwards.
Good luck.
Before the review, there's what's new on Blu-ray, DVD, and TVD.
Good.
Before that is the box office top 10.
Uh-huh.
And then at the very end of the show is Guess the Ending. And then at the very beginning, what's happening now, is the news.
Ooh.
News!
I'm so proud of you.
Actually, I'm not even really excited. There's only one item on news this week, so I'm just going to be really, like, kind of ho-hum about it.
Oh, right.
You'll be walking the plank for him. No punctuation needed, apparently.
No. You don't do punctuation in headlines.
Done. This is a complete sentence.
You don't need punctuation when you're talking about Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not.
If you couldn't tell,
Christoph Waltz.
The Walken is capitalized and is not with a G at the end.
There's no like apostrophe somewhere in there?
No.
Like it's slang?
So I don't know if you guys have heard about this. So NBC did a thing last year?
Hold
or
on.
Was it this year? Where they did a live version of the nun in the mountains who sings. What's her name? Sound of Music.
Sound of Music.
Her name, yes, her name is Sound of Music, correct.
Mrs. Music.
The Sound of Music, the music chick.
Yeah.
The Bavarian.
Yeah, they did a live Sound of Music, And I honestly don't know when that aired, but that was recent, right, guys?
No, yeah, you're right.
So now they thought, oh, that did well. So NBC, you know, they figured, let's cancel all of our shows, replace them with terrible ones, and then do another live musical.
Right.
And this one's going to be NBC's Peter Pan Live.
Oh, I thought it was just going to be him doing the Fatboy Slim thing over again.
But that's the weird thing. Christopher Walken is going to be Captain Hook.
Ooh. Well, I mean, at least you didn't say is going to be Peter Pan or Tinkerbell or both. Could he?
I'd take him as the crocodile and nothing else. That's, that's where I am. I don't know. Did anyone see when he was in there it goes again.
Seven Psychopaths?
The name of that? It was another music. It was a musical movie that was a remake.
Hairspray.
Did not watch it.
I saw a little bit of it.
Him and John Travolta were a couple in that film.
Yes.
I'm not on the right podcast. I gotta go.
But yeah, so Christopher Walken singing. I don't even know in the Peter Pan musical does Captain Hook even sing?
I haven't seen it in ages. So I don't even remember Peter Pan's Hook's bit in the show.
You know, Finding Neverland was on the other day.
Was Christopher Walken in that one?
No.
Well,
isn't that The Dep?
Yeah,
that's The Dep.
The Dep.
That's a magical movie,
Mister The Dep.
Mister, yeah,
it's hard not to get deep in on The Dep.
And The Graduate, Dustin Hoffman. He's in that movie.
Dustin Hoffman.
I love The Hook.
And Finding Neverland.
Was the Hoffman in Finding Neverland?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was the theater owner.
Okay. And what? He didn't.
Really?
And he. Uh-huh. I didn't. And he didn't play Captain Hook.
No.
Oh, okay.
He should have.
That's a really cool connection that they made.
Yeah.
Actually,
let's get the guy who played Hook.
Yeah.
Like this.
Thank you.
No, that's
visual
the,
gag
that's
on an audio
claw.
Podcast.
That's the claw.
Is this a hook then? Maybe.
I thought you were doing.
Or
Dr.
I'm throwing
claw.
Up gang signs.
Doctor Claw.
I'm just thinking back to Liar Liar. With the claw.
This is this acceptable?
Oh, the claw is coming for you.
Or is this The Fugitive? I don't know.
Again,
whoa.
This is the visual audio podcast all about visual gags.
Yep, visual gags all day, every day.
It's called See It, Don't Hear It. I just think this is weird. I don't know how I feel about this.
You guys will watch it. I probably won't watch it.
I'm not going to watch it.
No,
I'm probably not going to watch it.
Really? Even Jordan?
It went from not even knowing that it existed to go, oh, that's cool, and then just went right out my brain.
Oh, yep. So I got to go pee right now.
Yeah. That's the amount of involvement that I had.
So yeah, that's all the news I found.
I mean, well, good for him. I mean, yeah. A live performance, Captain Hook. Good for him. All right. That's all I got.
I thought you were going to say, oh, well, he's like the Oscars next year. He's going to be dancing there.
It'd be an Emmy.
Emmy? No. He's just going to be dancing at the Oscars.
Oh,
I thought that was the thing.
Oh, like for like the whole show?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Like behind, like. See, I might be down for that.
So tired.
But he could, of all people, he could do it.
No, he can do it.
So tired.
He gives the awards, too.
You think he's going to...
Instead of playing him off stage, he dances him off stage.
He plays in the orchestra at the same time.
Yeah.
Wait.
Pharrell.
I think Matt has stumbled across a really great idea. So you don't play the people off stage. Like, the music doesn't swell up. Someone comes out and picks you up and just starts dancing with you and takes you off the stage.
Beautiful.
And you can't say no because that's rude.
Yeah, you're in that nice gown. You have to dance.
You have to, or you're in a tuxedo.
Yeah,
you
know,
just pick it up and start
it's
going.
Only gowns.
They hire the guys after
the Rockettes. The Rockettes just... Do that off
the
stage.
Rockets.
Yeah. It's a new rule for the Grammys. Everyone has to wear gowns.
Just the Grammys, though.
Yep.
Okay.
Well. But at the Academy Awards, everyone has to wear suits.
Oh, okay.
No gowns.
Huh. Okay.
That's the Academy Awards.
Pantsuits?
Yeah.
Included?
Yep.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That was my Liam Neeson. The Academy Awards. Or not Liam Neeson. Who's the captain?
Quick. What was that?
Who's the captain on Naked Gun?
You're the captain. Leslie Nielsen.
No. He's the Detective Frank Drebin. But who's their...
Leslie Nielsen.
The captain?
Yeah.
Like their boss?
Yeah. He's like, oh, you got to stop. They're going to blow up the Academy walls.
I'm not sure what you're doing, but yeah, that's not him.
No,
he sounds like
that.
Gun 4? Like, no. Which one was that?
That's the third one or the second
one? The third one?
That's the one where they blow up the Academy Awards. No, anyone?
That's the second one, yeah.
The second one, yeah.
With Anna Nicole Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the second
with
one.
With the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Another visual gag on an audio podcast. That was
the bit where he did the crying game bit.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Oh, Jesus, really?
Yeah, that was pretty
cool. Oh, boy. All right, so that's it for the news. So I guess we might as well just get into the box office top 10.
Count me down.
Sorry.
I don't want to hang out with number 10.
Jersey Boys.
Because I felt like they would number 9.
Begin Again.
Unless you felt like you were number 8.
Maleficent.
But if you do, just say number 7.
Deliver Us from Evil.
And Save Us from number 6.
Earth to Echo.
Unless you feel like number 5.
How to Drain Your Dragon 2.
And you can do that at number 4.
22 Jump Street.
In the next one, it'll have number 3.
Tammy.
And unfortunately, it'll probably have to sequel to number 2.
Transformers Age of Extinction.
But nobody gets to see that because of number 1.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Look at these numbers. Beautiful numbers. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Killing it. 73
yeah, I'm happy
million.
For them.
Ooh, considering 73 billion. 73
zillion. Oh, you went gazillion on me. Okay.
Everyone in the world right, watched it more than once this weekend.
Yeah.
They also beamed it to the galaxy.
They beamed it to the galaxy.
Yeah. Because this is only Transformers' third week.
Yep.
And mm-hmm. it's only making 16.
I'm happy about that. Yeah. It means people are talking to each other and going, no, yeah, I saw that. You don't need to.
Oh, you saw Tammy too? Oh, yeah, we don't want to see that.
And
then.
I think people aren't seeing it a second time because it's so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're doing one, and then they learn the lesson.
That is like a 12th of your day. No.
It's almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well,
it's a
sixth of your day.
An eight. Wait, hold on.
Whatever. Doesn't matter.
You know?
Come on, you guys watch right. Breaking
doesn't
Bad.
Matter. It doesn't matter. It's it an just, eighth, but who cares?
It doesn't, it just, I don't get it when it's like, why does your Transformers movie have to be 2 hours and 40 minutes long?
Because no one is next to Michael Bay going, you know what, maybe you shouldn't do that.
That's actually, I can attest to that.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend who was the he was a production assistant on the second film.
Nice.
And it's very accurate.
I mean, there's a reason why every single actor thinks Michael Bay is a genius. It's because he makes everyone feel fantastic about what they're doing.
Right.
So people would just feel weird saying anything to him.
Yeah.
That's negative.
And what else we got here? Was Begin Again on the 10 last week?
I don't know.
Or did it just sneak in there because some other things dropped out?
Are you talking about the AMC? Is that the 10 or who does the 10?
No one anymore.
No. Oh, is that
the 10 is done.
Regal?
And it was the 20.
The 20!
And it's done.
Oh.
They call it First Look now. Regal's First Look.
Oh, yeah. You've just been First Looked.
I used to love the 20. It was amazing.
Based on these numbers, I actually have a bone to pick with the Guardian of the Galaxy's preview. I don't know if anyone has seen the trailer. But their newest trailer has a part where
Glenn Close
says,
oh, yeah.
12 billion people are in the hands of this group of criminals that right. they need to be saved, right? Mm-hmm. If they're talking about the entire galaxy, that's a relatively small number. Because how many people are on this Earth right now?
Like, is it 60 billion?
No, it's a low billion. It's
oh,
like
it's a low
6
billion.
Billion. But if billion. If there's only double that in the entire galaxy, what?
Well, I mean, out of context, let's assume that she's talking about a planet.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Or like a section of the galaxy.
Or a section
of the
galaxy.
It's a smaller galaxy.
But
yeah. It's not our galaxy. It's another one, and it's smaller.
Right.
Oh, that is true, because he's not anywhere near Earth.
He's not near Earth, yeah.
Because
he was an Earthling, but
he got abducted when he was a kid.
Yeah.
That makes sense, because if he was in the same galaxy as Earth...
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're close, because they cross over in the comics.
Well, yeah, but in the movie none of us have seen yet, I'm assuming. He's much further.
No.
Yeah.
We all know what's going to happen.
Oh,
we can't talk about it.
Did you know he's going to meet Captain America, guys?
Yeah, anyway.
I hope so.
No,
he's
going to
be called
Wolverine.
Captain Planet when he meets him.
Does he meet Captain Planet?
He's my hero.
Is it Don Cheadle still?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So Captain America falls into some nuclear waste and turns green,
yep.
And then he becomes Captain
And then
Planet.
Gets a fro.
And then he says, the only way for me to survive is if I split my soul into 7 rings. 7? 5?
5.
5 rings. I was thinking Harry Potter. That's 7, right?
Yeah, that's 7. Yeah.
And the Bible.
8, but let's just...
Oh, yeah.
If if we're talking about 7, Bible 2.
Is that the sequel to the Bible?
Yep.
The Bible 2.
Mm-hmm. The Bible as well.
comma also.
It's just the same.
Yeah.
Newer Testamenter.
Yep. That's the tagline.
Yeah.
Yep.
Testamenter.
Read it. It's a good read.
There's the New Testament, there's the Old Testament, and then there's the Newer Testamenter.
Does that just sounds like a tormentor, but with test in front of it.
Is that a new CBS?
That's the test that tormentors have to take before they can be a tormentor.
I thought that was their spinoff to The Mentalist.
Well, yeah, it would be mental.
I also like that Maleficent's still in the top 10.
Yes.
7 weeks out.
Wow. Good.
killing it with 222.
Yep.
You think all the senior citizens in the country have seen Jersey Boys then?
Yeah, that's why it's dropping. That's a regular old what was Clint Eastwood's last one?
No, Clint Eastwood sent
Edgar?
Out
Edgar. It's regular J. Edgar.
Yeah, he sent out his old person nude letter.
Yeah, he was
to
in
people.
AARP for the past
yeah.
3 months
yeah,
straight.
Yeah, it's been in the magazine. And they're like, you need to come see this movie.
You remember the old days? You will now.
I made a movie about your life. Again.
Again and again.
You remember Flags Frankie of Our Valley. Fathers?
I don't know why. I'm Batman now. Sorry.
Look, Clint Eastwood is Batman.
He's the original Batman, yeah. That's that voice.
Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I don't even remember if it was last week or the week before I complained about the number of sequels and properties based on other things. But now, you know, it's still more. I don't know. Still the same.
Well, I'm kind of surprised to see Begin Again on the top 10 at all.
Yeah, I think it hopped. I think it wasn't there last week.
That's good. No, I mean, I haven't seen it, but I mean, like, it's a smaller movie, mm-hmm. you know.
What did it make in its first week? Story, huh? Mm-hmm. What did it make in its first week?
Oh, well, clearly, you look at 3 weeks worth, it's 5.3, so it made probably under 1 million in the first week. It made more money this week than it did in the past 2 weeks combined.
But that's good. I'm assuming there's got to be some sort of advertising with it because...
Mm-hmm. Or it went wide or something.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean... It got a wide. It was limited, and then it got a wider release, which probably merits some sort of advertising.
Mm-hmm. And this is from the director.
It was
of,
not
of
on their last week.
Yes.
Yeah,
and I loved Once.
It was not on their last week because every single movie in the top 10 of last week was above the last two. So if you look at the last two, you got 2.9 and 2.5. The lowest number last week was 3.6.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Is Earth to Echo that's original? Idea?
Yeah.
Well, yes. Not doesn't at the beginning of the movie it doesn't say based on anything.
Yeah, yes. No.
It doesn't then say that. Yeah.
I mean, somebody watched E.T. and said, "Hey, what if that was a robot?"
It's not like Super 8. Yeah. It's like based
Let's
on.
Let's make a new E.T.
But with found footage.
Oh Jesus!
From the director of Cloverfield.
He's on here, but he didn't
yeah, only because I saw the trailer for some new Hunger Games Earth to Echo type thing.
The Maze Runner is actually a good book.
The Maze, yeah.
Oh, like, is it?
Okay. You saw the trailer for that?
Cool. Yeah, I was like, oh, this has got to be based on some dumb book.
That's one of the slew that were bought up after first Hunger Games movie came out and everyone went, oh, shit, and bought every young adult
Not
property out there.
Well, like the Twilight really broke the young adult thing.
Yeah.
And Hunger Games was
That's
like,
true.
Oh, it's still, yeah. it's not
That's
stopping.
True.
It's still going.
That's true.
Still Nothing going. Outlasts
but, I mean,
the
I
young adult.
I just mean because it's coming out now.
Yeah.
If it got bought earlier, it would have come out. Before the second Hunger Games
that's
movie.
That's true. There have been a handful
There's
that have come out
so
and just didn't make
many,
it.
There's been so many, yeah. Like the detergent.
No, that's making it.
I know.
You keep saying
Don't remind
like it's
me.
Not making it, but it's making it.
That movie looks so dumb.
They can make more Percy Jackson movies. That's fine.
Yes.
They will.
I love that series. Right?
But these other ones, come on. Stop, guys.
If only because Nathan Fillion was in the second one. And he plays a good character.
I wish he'd play a bad guy.
He'd be good.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the box office.
He's probably going to be the Darth Lord in the Star Wars movies.
Shut up.
Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be the best thing?
Like, yeah, no.
I just
clearly.
I need to go clean up.
You know, like when your dog gets excited because someone, you know, they see someone that they know and there's a little spritzer.
Yep. Just in it. I mean, that's why you wear that diaper. I mean,
I don't need the diaper. I want everyone to know how gross I am.
I'm sorry. I'm just excited.
Look, then just go walk around my street a couple of times.
Okay. There are certain sections of this block that do smell like pee.
Well.
Or hot garbage.
All right. So if you don't want to smell like hot garbage, if you don't want to go out to theaters.
Don't come to my neighborhood.
Yeah, don't come to my neighborhood, but stay at home and watch one of these new releases. Let's start with DVD and Blu-ray. I have a film here called Open Grave.
Now, what is this?
This film actually came out early this year, and it has Charlton Copley.
You mean Michael Bay?
Yeah, he thought Charlton Copley was Michael Bay when he saw him in...
Well, they looked like they could be related.
Thank you.
When he showed up in Maleficent, he was like, what is Michael Bay doing in this
movie? No.
Well, he had long hair, so I'm assuming that's
we had We had that discussion, and I was like, I don't know what he's talking about. And then I looked up a picture of Michael Bay, because I haven't seen a picture of him in a while.
Okay, yeah.
And I'm fucking... Michael Bay. Related.
Michael Bay looks like he's Michael Bolton's drunken brother.
Yeah, that I agree with. So Charlton Copley's like his, like... South African, like, long-lost cousin.
Yeah,
there.
Exactly.
All right, so Open Grave. It's a film where Charlton Copley wakes up in a pit of dead bodies with no memory of who he is or how he got there. he runs away and he finds a house and he meets up with other people and then no one else can remember anything and they have to figure out what put them there and what's killing them.
I like this. It sounds good.
Yeah, I remember hearing about this when it was being made, and then I did not hear when it came out, and now here it is. It's already on DVD.
Already on DVD.
Wasn't that a Ryan Reynolds movie like that?
Buried.
Buried.
Well, this one, yeah. Buried was all in the box.
But did he know? Did anyone ever see that movie?
Tom did.
Tom, are you here?
I have not. I want to.
Oh, I'm here.
Was there another movie that was like Buried?
There were several movies.
Kill Bill.
Buried. There was one with Adrian Brody. Yes. Stuck in a car. Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't remember that one.
Some of my favorite straight to DVD ones actually has Adrian Brody. The Jacket.
Ooh, that's a good movie.
Oh yeah,
I like that movie.
And then also Running Scared with Paul Walker.
Ooh. Oh, I love that.
Fantastic.
That's a good movie.
Like I don't even know if they went in theaters, but they are just fantastic.
Running Scared was in theaters. No one watched it.
Okay, that
which
explains
is a bummer,
that.
Because it's really good.
So good.
It's the premium rush of its time.
Yeah,
I gave it DVD money.
Well, it's so smart though.
Yeah.
Like, sorry to get off topic, but just the fact that it's actually like an adult story, like a storybook. But
what did we review 2 weeks ago? That's what it reminded me.
I can't remember last week's.
It wasn't Transformers.
Snowpiercer.
It wasn't
Snowpiercer. 2 weeks ago was Transformers.
What was before Transformers?
It must have been Transformers.
What was before Transformers?
I don't know. I wasn't here for Transformers.
Shit, it was a good movie.
I don't remember yesterday.
Oh. Edge of Tomorrow?
Might have. No, that was before then.
That was before that.
Maybe I was thinking of Snowpiercer that had hints of Running Scared in it. That reminded me of like Running Scared meets Fallout, and there was some other movie.
I can see that.
22 Jump Street? No, that's 5 weeks
like
ago.
When Paul Walker gets to that one parent's house, like that couple that they had, with the kids.
That's actually his wife and or girlfriend is the one who gets there. Paul Walker's out doing other stuff at the time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He gets there later, right? Or no?
No, he never gets there.
Oh, my God. She handles it all on her own.
She does.
Yeah. Because it's the chick from...
Vera Farmiga?
Yes. Yep.
First thing I've seen her in. Yeah.
She's good.
She's good. She's really good in that one.
Mm-hmm. So anyways, Open Grave.
Open Grave. So we're all Charlotte Copley heads.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Charlotte heads.
I like Michael Bay, yeah.
Well,
he was good in District 9.
I liked him in A-Team.
I really like A-Team.
I do like A-Team.
he was good
in Elysium.
Charlotte Copley. What is...
Just angry.
Oh,
Rio 2.
Rio 2! Just in time for the
Rio
World Cup. To be over, you can get it on. You can continue your Brazilian experience.
If Adam were here, what would he say about when he saw the first Rio?
Oh shit! Is that what he said?
No, something about it was a concert. What
did he say? Oh, come on!
It was really bad.
You can celebrate.
Why did you say that on a recording?
You can celebrate the recent loss in the World Cup by going to see Rio 2.
Yeah,
go Germany
and make yourself feel better when Americans voice birds that were born in Brazil.
Yeah,
I wanted to see Rio 2 because the first one was dumb fun.
Is that what it's called?
Rio, dumb fun.
Yep,
Andrew Lynn, Nerdist Podcast.
It's on the box.
It's on there, yeah. I saw it.
Yeah, but they did the thing where they brought back the villain for no reason. So that I was like, oh, whatever. Dumb kids.
Spoiler.
It's what's his name? It's Jermaine
Dupri.
Clement?
From Concords.
Is that Jermaine Dupri?
Jermaine Dupri.
Yeah. And then last on DVD and Blu-ray, we have Under the Skin, which we reviewed in episode 180.
Sweet.
Which was titled Lack of Black Swans.
You're supposed to go, which we saw, and...
creeped the shit out of me.
Yeah, that was a creepy movie.
That was weird. I enjoyed it, but it was weird.
I think afterwards, Ty let on that he really didn't like that movie at all.
No?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, too bad.
There was a lot of stuff to appreciate about it.
But he wasn't on that episode. I think it was just Tom.
Yeah, but remember, we saw it with him.
Yeah, we saw it with him.
Mm-hmm. It's an experience movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's just something you watch. You're probably never going to want to watch it again.
Like, only God forgives.
Yeah.
And, well, see, that's a bad movie.
Hey,
I don't think Under the Skin is a bad movie, but I think it's something that not everyone's going
to
like.
And it's worthwhile. I think it's just worthwhile to watch once because of such an experiment in filmmaking that it was, because a lot of it was filmed without the people knowing that it was being filmed.
Yeah, It
was literally Scarlett Johansson driving around in a van with cameras trained on her.
It is a perplexing movie on its own. But once you know the backstory and how it's made, it's a very interesting movie.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen it, Justin?
I haven't seen it. I've been wanting to see it.
Yeah, it's
worth it.
I definitely want to see it.
It'll creep you out.
I'm expecting it. Yeah.
It's a rent, not a buy.
Okay.
You know, just something you need to see, but you don't need to own it because you're probably never going to watch
it again. Just brace yourself. There's a lot of penis.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, so what? What?
So just another
Friday
for you. I see that
all the time. Doesn't bother me then. Why should it bother me?
I wink at it all the time. All right. So.
Moving on.
Let's just keep on going.
DVD only. This is quite an interesting title for this week. It's a film called Night of the Bloody Apes.
This is where the apes, so was ape this on ape made, action?
Was this made after the simian flu broke out?
You know.
Hey, no. It wasn't. It was just in a lab, okay? So a virus.
This is I believe.
Is it Asylum?
Please no, tell no, me it's no. Asylum. It's a Spanish language Mexican-made film.
That's even better.
It's a double feature.
From the 60s.
Ooh. It's a double feature just like, what's that?
Time Cop.
Torrentino one?
Oh, Grindhouse.
Torrentino.
The Torrentino film. Richard Rodriguez's.
Yeah,
the Torrentino.
Torrentino pizzas.
Grindhouse.
Are you trying to say those little pizzas?
It's a Grindhouse.
Yeah, the Torrentino's pizza bagels.
Yeah, I love those movies.
Well, it was a double feature, and I think they're just releasing it alone. I think that's why it's getting a special.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's about.
It's in the comments.
There's no actual description.
I love that.
Okay, so the actual name. Can you read this, Matt? La Horripilante Bestia Humana? Am I saying that right?
Horripilante?
La Horripilante.
Bestia.
Bestia Humana?
Humana.
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 So that translates to Night of the Bloody Apes. It's a color film about a doctor scientist who, with the best of intentions, sounds familiar, tries to cure his son of a fatal ailment, sounds even more familiar, and with his treatment, unintentionally turns him into a murderous, raging ape man. Well, not quite.
The main ape, Cesar.
We lost the connection.
And then also, a female wrestler and her detective boyfriend go about trying to solve the series of strange, bloody murders.
Now I know it's amazing!
Now I know what China's been doing. Oh, wait, no, this was in the 60s. Now I know what the Fabulous Mula was doing.
No, and this was Mexico, so it's a luchador.
La Fabulosa
so she wears a mask?
Mula.
I hope so.
God, that's gotta be
it. What do you think her mask is? Is it like a cheetah, or what do you think her
what
mask
kind of mask it is?
Yeah. What fights monkeys?
Cheetahs. A lion.
Ooh.
Could be a lion.
Well, if you've seen Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, a bear.
A bear. It'd be a bear.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, it'd be a bear. This is available like at the $5 bin at the bottom of Walmart? Is that
the gas station?
The gas station?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah? Okay. Oh, good. I'll find it there when I'm filling up. Right at the gas station near this place.
Okay. Matt, I'm going to allow you to read the next title on DVD only. The final DVD only title.
You know, I think, Andrew, you should reveal something, a long-standing, something that you've been hiding from our audience. That's not your real accent.
I'll do my real voice, but just for this next title.
You got it.
Okay.
Oy vey, my son is gay.
I'll never do that real accent ever again.
Yeah, you went to school for years to make that go away.
It's like, who's the guy who sounds like the Affleck duck?
Gilbert Gottfried.
That's not his real voice. No. His real voice is normal, but whenever he's being recorded or interviewed or in a movie, he does that. He puts on that other voice.
Otherwise, he sounds like Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah, he sounds very erudite. This film, if you couldn't tell, it's an indie film. Carmen Electra's in this film somehow.
What?
But I think she's getting top billed just because she's recognizable. I think she's a very low character in this. Because Saul Rubinek is a big character. Vincent Pastore, who I think we talked about recently on the show. Bruce Valanche. You know. And it's exactly what the title is, though.
And it's J. Rodriguez, but it's J-A-I?
It might be Jai Rodriguez.
Is that the same J. Rodriguez? That's J. Hernandez that I'm thinking of.
Is that the guy from, Queer Eye?
You know, it might be. Someone click it.
But the film is exactly what the title sounds like. It's a Jewish family finds out their son is gay. They go to meet the other family to see how it's like without telling the other family that either of them is gay. And then at that dinner, of course, it comes out.
Hilarity ensues. Yeah. And yeah.
No, but Jai Rodriguez is also listed as being in the film version of The Producers.
So there's that.
Okay.
So I don't know. The world may never know.
Unless you rent. Oy vey, my son is gay.
Or you can find at the bin of your gas station.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Bottom of the
right
bin.
Underneath Night of the Bloody Apes, there's this one.
Ooh, double feature. I can see similar themes.
Both for $10 and a Slurpee.
All right,
yeah, you went the other day. It was a free slurpee.
Ah, dang it. A Blue Hooray.
Blue Hooray!
It's a Criterion release of the film Pickpocket.
That's not a pocket.
You just stole my pocket.
I just touched
it's
your nipple.
It's from 1959.
Now, does this have Bruce Blanche?
No. No. It's a film by Robert Bresson. Bresson?
Tell me more.
It's French.
All right.
An aloof Frenchman's path of crime finally leads to his true love.
Is there any other kind of Frenchman?
No, they're only aloof.
Especially when it's French New Wave.
It's genetic.
It's genetic.
Or as they would say, je ne sais pas. Yeah.
They're always just like Gerard Depardieu in anything. He's so
I don't
aloof.
Know why that he's your go-to Frenchman.
He's the only French person I know, other than Thierry Henry, but he's a soccer player. Oh. And he's retired.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know anything else about France.
All right, and then finally we got TVD. We got Black Dynamite Season 1. That's right. They made a cartoon of Black Dynamite.
What is this?
It was a cartoon of Black Dynamite.
Hmm.
Do you remember the movie Black Dynamite?
No.
Oh, you never saw it?
No.
It was like a spoof of blaxploitation films.
Oh.
And it was your guy that you like who played Spawn.
Oh, Michael Jai White.
Yeah.
Yes, please. Thank you.
He's the voice of Black Dynamite.
I'll
believe
take
he played
it.
Him in the film.
Does so. He sound like Spawn? Right.
Did you see
Black Dynamite? I seen Black Dynamite in like one episode of the cartoon.
Oh, but you saw the movie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No. It's Michael Jai White, right?
It's Michael Jai White.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the movie is live action?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. They made an animated cartoon. There we go. You know, because why not? It was either Adult Swim or it had to be Adult Swim.
It was Adult Swim. Yeah.
I was like, Cartoon Network? No.
No. Well, no. Same diff, right? Yes, it's right after Adventure Time.
Yeah.
It's between Adventure Time and the
regular show.
Regular show.
Yeah.
Fits right in.
Right there.
And then also, continuing the Black TV show theme, Orphan Black, Season 2.
His last name is Black. It's
yeah.
No it's color.
It's Mr. Orphan nope. Black.
It's Mrs. Orphan Black.
Yeah, and well, she's fantastic. The fact that she was not nominated for an Emmy is bullshit.
What
yeah,
is this?
I would have put that in the news, you're the one who watches TV out of all of us here.
It's a movie about clones, or it's a TV show about clones.
Yeah.
And the same woman plays like seven different characters on the show.
The first season was only like three or four, but now it's even more, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Because more of them are coming in. And they're all completely different from each other. Their mannerisms, their speech tones, the way they look. It's amazing work. They make the scenes look very great.
Mm-hmm.
Like usually when two of the same people are in the same role and they're next to each other. Except for in The Social Network, that was bomb. But usually you can tell that it's fake and it's seamless. It's beautiful. They do a fantastic job. And she's amazing to have that much range. So the fact that she wasn't nominated, I disagree with that. And the show's really good.
Yeah. So check that out.
That's a
Jordan digs it. Oh, what's our pick of the week? Is it going to be Under the Skin? No, that's too creepy.
Because it's not.
Let's do Orphan Black Season 2.
It's not for everyone.
Night of the Bloody Apes.
Night of the Bloody Apes.
You want that? That's our pick of the week?
I'm kidding. You don't have to really do that.
I don't know.
Orphan Black.
Open
Season 2.
Let's do Orphan Black.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know, people should be picking it up.
Yep.
So we'll put a link in our description to go on Amazon and buy Orphan Black Season 2. If you click through and buy it there, you'll be supporting us.
We get $50,000 per purchase.
That's not even close to true.
I'm going to go buy one copy so we can get $50,000.
That would be nice. So please do that. And we want to hear about your local video store.
Justin, what's your local video store?
Yeah, Justin, do you have any local video store memories?
I do. They're all gone because all the stores are...
Yeah, that's why I said memories.
Memories.
No, there is one. You've been wiped?
You know what? There is one store.
Where? What is it?
It's on Brookhurst. It's called Videotown.
Okay.
No.
You live close to me.
Oh, dude. Well, there we go. Revelation. Yeah. I had a lot of good memories over there at that store particularly. They have an amazing like Asian like cult film section.
That's where Ty still goes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Ty still goes there.
Ty?
He's been on the show.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You wouldn't know him.
I thought you met him once.
I don't think so.
Are we making this awkward for me? So yes, I met Ty.
No, I honestly don't think you've ever met
okay.
Ty.
Okay.
He's Ty.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not. Don't start that.
Is it? All right.
Now I'll just start doing my Thai stereotypes. He likes to box.
So we would like to hear, listener, about your local video store. Please email us, nevpodcast@gmail.com.
Did you just shortchange us? Listener?
Listener. I'm speaking. At the moment, one person is listening right now. And I'm speaking directly to that listener.
It's you, Robert.
And I know you're looking around. Robert, really? He took a stab in the dark and Robert was what you came up with?
Well, it's just like that scene in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
well, what was your daughter's name? I was like, insert generic name here. Sarah. In my head, I had Melissa, but okay, Sarah works.
Sarah. I know where you got Sarah from. It's from the movie.
All right. I guess it's time for our review. Yeah?
Oh, boy. He said yes.
Did he do sign language?
Yeah, he did.
Ape language.
Yeah. No, not now.
All right, so this film that we're going to review is called Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, directed by Matt Reeves. Starring Andy Serkis, Jason Clarke, Gary Oldman, Kerry Russell. Don't even need that note.
And the guy from Black Donnellys.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You always, anytime someone from that show appears, that you don't say who they are. You just say, "Yeah, Black Donnellys guy."
You know, the only person I know on that show, their name is Olivia Wilde.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Was she on that show?
Uh-huh.
I thought it was Megan Fox.
She was a... No, come on.
Okay.
That was a good show. That was a good show.
Was Megan Fox ever on a TV show? Does anyone know? Nobody knows? Nope. Okay. I'm alone right now in the studio. Everyone left me alone. I don't want to tell anyone I was doing different voices.
That moment where the schizophrenic person realizes they're the only person in the room.
I've been making sports references. Okay. So this is the sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes, as we discussed earlier. The weird titling.
You just took a stab at me.
So what...
It's a movie.
Apes, right? Okay, so all of us have seen Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yep.
Has anyone seen the Charlton Heston?
Justin's our resident ape man over here.
Yeah, I just finished rewatching all five of the original films.
Nice.
Last
oh wow!
Night, so,
I'm jealous.
Well, you good got sale those? On Amazon.
There it is.
Yeah. So I revisited all.
Does anyone remember that episode of
Did
The Simpsons?
Did you watch the Tim Burton ones too?
I'm gonna. I didn't buy it with the.
Oh,
rest.
They didn't come all together.
It didn't come all together.
Interesting.
Like, but I've decided. I'm gonna revisit it. Like
you watched
rent
them before.
It. I have seen the Tim Burton version. Cool. So. Yep. I have thoughts on that one.
Yeah,
but,
I know. Yeah.
But I do want to revisit it after kind of like going through the other five and then,
cool.
So very seeing cool. How it
hold
compares.
On, they made five of those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the titles in order?
They are in order.
Yeah.
Planet of the Apes, Beneath the Planet of the Apes, Escape from the Planet of the Apes, Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, and Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
The last one, what year did that take place?
In Battle for the Planet of the Apes?
Or what year was it made?
What year was it made?
Yeah.
Had to be the 80s by that point.
At least late 70s, I would feel.
Really?
It feels okay. Like 70s still.
Huh. Well, they're still using the same costume.
Yeah, that's true.
73.
73? Ooh, wow, oh, really? 73? Dang.
They just churned them out.
Well, it was like 1 year for a while.
It was kind of
68.
1 year.
68.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was 5 years.
5 years, yeah.
5 years, five movies.
Ape a year.
Wow.
Take mm-hmm. that, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So then they did the Tim Burton one. That was, what, 2000?
2001?
One, sure.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, Tim Burton Odyssey.
Then we thought apes were dead, but then they did Rise in 2011.
Which is like 10 years after
yeah.
the Burton
yeah.
film. Yeah.
Well, at least they waited 10, unlike the Spider-Man. That
yeah.
was like, 3 years, that's long enough. Let's just turn out another one.
Yeah, well, that's because they need to keep the franchise.
Yeah.
They just need to keep making movies, otherwise they're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's just, it's a business reason.
So I know that we on this show did not review Rise of the Planet of the Apes when it came out, but I only watched it recently as well to prepare for this film.
Oh.
And after I finished it, I immediately thought, like, this is
such a different... My favorite James Franco movie.
Well, but it's... Well, you know, it might be. It's such a different kind of a film.
Completely.
Because, just from all other films in general, because it almost plays like a biography of Caesar.
Yes.
Right.
Like, it's so weird. Like, there's no, like, it's not like at the beginning, like, James Franco is like, I want to do blank, and by the end, James Franco has done something. It's like, it starts with Caesar's mother being taken from the wild,
mm-hmm.
and then you see his birth and him growing. Like, it's so weird. It's
yeah,
like,
that's what I liked about it. That pretty cool.
It shows such a good, because in the 60s, the 70s, it was about, let's make a movie about, like, apes, but it's a portrayal of human society.
It's a metaphor.
And showing that we are connected, which kind of is a connection to Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Right.
But then the 2001 was like, let's just remake that movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then the focus was always on humans. At all times, it was about the humans in the midst of all that struggle.
Right.
And that's the only reason, Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Rise of the Silver Surfer.
I think they should be switched.
I do not blame you.
Yeah, I keep having it in my head going, no, Rise. that's the reason the movie got made. It's because someone said, let's tell it from Caesar's point of view.
Right.
Let's make the movie about him and explain his reason why he becomes what he becomes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it makes a great movie.
No, and I think in most other films, it would only be the first act of a larger film about like this ape taker. Like that would be act one to this actual film of Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. But they actually had enough in Rise to make it a fully fleshed out film.
Yep.
And I think that really worked.
Yes.
Like, I really like that. And then going into Dawn, I was like, I love the trailer for Dawn. And then seeing it, you know, it's good. It's good. Just jump to there.
Even comparing to the other Apes movies with Rise, it's a unique Apes movie. It's a unique Planet of the Apes movie. Like, it doesn't feel like Planet of the Apes movie. And I mean that in a good way. Like Planet of the Apes, the Burton Planet of the Apes tried to do a version of what people thought they remembered about those movies.
Mm-hmm.
And failed spectacularly because they were.
It was the Burton version.
Version of it, and like you said, it was too focused on humans.
Mm-hmm.
And it became very clear that by the third Apes movie, Escape from Planet of the Apes, they realized that the real stars are the apes.
Yeah,
it's very clear. Like everyone loves them the most, so it's focused on them. And from that point on, the Apes movies got more interesting because they were focusing on Cornelius and Zira and.
Yep.
And then Caesar. So Rise took that element of like, okay, let's remember, it's the apes story is more interesting.
There were the important people.
Now, do you think, so when Burton made his Planet of the Apes, like CGI was not quite ready yet.
No, they were all in suits.
They were all still in suits.
And they were great suits.
They were fantastic.
Does anyone recall when Rise came out, if there was like a weird outcry that the apes would be like CGI?
I don't know if there was an outcry, because I know that in the beginning, and here's my thing, right? Because originally the movie was just going to be called Caesar. Mm-hmm. I don't even think they were going to.
Perfect.
That's right. Great.
Or Rise of Caesar. Like that.
Yeah.
That would be like, hello.
It was the last minute change to retitle it.
It was a business decision.
Yeah.
People aren't going to know this is connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only reason.
It would have fooled me. I would have thought it was a Julius Caesar movie. I would have been there. Boom.
See, and then that's the wrong audience. It's like, this is not Shakespeare.
Yeah. We got to get all those people who love the original movies and all their kids to come in.
Look, right. I don't care if Lithgow recites Shakespeare in this film, we cannot call it Rise of Caesar.
Right. Yep. But because of that, because it's they were not really intentionally trying to do a Planet of the Apes-y movie.
Yeah.
Officially. It became later, it's like, oh, shit, it's going to be a Planet of the Apes movie.
This is the Batman Begins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Planet of the Apes.
I read that Rise didn't even start, like, it was the people writing it just wrote as like, someone creates a super smart monkey by accident and it turns evil.
Right.
And they were like, I guess at some point they realized, oh, let's just retool this, make him not evil, but good.
Was that Outbreak?
And even more importantly, they were like,
was that Outbreak?
well, even more importantly, they were doing this research about this, like actual, like, simian testing. And at one point, the guy, was writing the script and went, I can make this a Planet of the Apes thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, there's everything's in there. So. Mm-hmm.
It's got all the right pieces.
So they start shoving in more Planet of the Apes references. Probably a little too much for my taste in Rise. They got to the point where I get it. Get your hands off me. I saw the other one.
I think that was for people who would watch the original movies like once.
Sure.
Or had never seen the original movies.
But they knew those moments.
Right.
But the moments are so in the pop culture of the time.
Right.
That's why they did it.
God, that makes sense.
I'm so out of the loop. The only thing I know is The Simpsons. That is the only thing I know.
Dr. Zayas.
I was waiting for a Dr. Zayas. But like in Rise, none of that resonated with me. But I thought it was still a good movie, and I watched it again this morning. And I think the stuff. I didn't care so much about anyone else in the movie except for Caesar, and I liked the evolution of him. And I'll say more about that when we actually talk about.
Yeah, but where
is Dawn?
Let's move from Rise to Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Caesar.
The Dawn rises.
The dawn of the Rising
rises. This is quite a film because it starts out with just apes.
Yeah.
Like it just goes right into it. It's just apes, apes, apes.
That's my favorite part of the movie, by the way. I seriously, when it's just all apes and they're doing their sign language, and you see how they've progressed and how they, you know, they became a society.
Yeah.
Actually, a different kind of society. After everything, after the events of the San Francisco Bridge, the Golden Gate Bridge. That was my favorite part. Everything else, to be honest, I was kind of bored in this movie. Only when Caesar was on screen was I interested in this movie. Mm. Everything else, none of these characters, we don't know them. You're not attached to them. And I kind of pulled a Tom where it's like it just didn't do anything for me.
I found an interesting parallel from Benson had a thought about the Godzilla film. Mm-hmm. And there's a point in the Godzilla film where it's like you have all these human characters, but you don't really know that much about them, and like you don't really get a lot about them because it doesn't matter. It's not about those human characters.
Yeah, Godzilla's the main character.
It's the same thing here. It's not about. It's like you get touching points like where Carrie Russell's like, I had a daughter, and it's like, oh, she died, and like Jason Clarke had a wife, but she died. But you don't really go too deep into that.
The guy from Lawless.
Yes. Yeah. You don't go too deep in that because it's not about the humans, it's about the apes.
Right.
With the humans, all that you need on the humans is like a surface level understanding of like they went through tragedy, mm-hmm. and this
they're
is what
on
drives
the other,
them.
And they're on the other side of it trying to make it better.
Right.
Yeah.
I did like the scene with him and Caesar and was it Koba?
Koba?
Yeah.
Is they fucked up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy.
Scar.
Yeah.
This guy.
Yeah, that guy.
That's Koba. Wow.
That's the actor.
Yeah, that's the actor that did.
Toby Kebbell?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kibble? There you go. Kibbles and Bits. Bits and...
We'll just call him Bits.
He's Scar.
Let's just call him what he is. He's Scar.
Yep.
But that scene where he's like, oh, no. He got me out of the cage and he freed me. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yep. So I'll respect him for now.
I want to take a moment to really... I agree. Like, my favorite parts are anytime it's just all apes, like communicating and seeing the society and seeing where they are.
They're dynamic.
It's wonderful. And I think what blows my mind.
And they had
mind,
a funny moment.
Yeah. What blows my mind is that it's a $100 plus movie of realistic CGI of just apes doing sign language. And this is in a major studio movie. And I went, that's amazing.
And a major studio sequel.
And I would argue that the CG is better in this than Transformers.
I didn't know
Transformers was CG.
The fact that there was only two parts in the movie where I was like, oh, that was a computer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and in a movie where the majority of it
parts.
The tower.
Really?
Yeah, I can see that.
It was just I was like, no, it's unbelievable that the way that metal is moving and bending under the explosion. It's not how
Gary Oldman's while two thing. Talking apes are talking to each other.
See, that's the thing. Yeah.
This is real. This tower is not real.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The most important part is I never thought the apes were fake.
Exactly.
The stuff around them to me stood out as fake. Yeah. Like it's a masterpiece in CG work.
Oh,
because
my God, yeah.
I never once thought that I wasn't just watching a group of apes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
They were humans. You didn't know that.
Well, so, yeah, in
the metaphor.
In trackball suits.
Yeah.
all right, so I have some thoughts here. I wrote down I had a note about symbolism using color.
Mm-hmm. Explain.
I thought this was brilliant right away at the beginning of the film. When there's like a dispute and the apes come as a show of power to the humans to show that the apes are powerful and don't mess with
us. There's a great show.
They roll deep.
There's a shot where the town gates open. The Jason Clarke is at the head of the group, and he's wearing a white shirt, and all the rest of the people behind him are in grays and dark colors.
Mm-hmm.
And he walks forward to speak to Caesar, and that's just that
shows his mindset.
Well,
shows his emotion
from everyone else.
It shows his relationship to the apes and his openness.
He's got a white flag.
It's also white as a pure color. Yeah. He's not coming in with any prejudice against
the
apes.
It's so cool that they like that works in such a like a subtle way.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then there's another moment of symbolism with him where when they go for the first time to the ape colony and he kind of walks in and he gets taken by the gorilla crew.
Yep.
And he's wearing a poncho and it's raining.
Yep.
And he tries to stand up to speak to Caesar and they keep pushing him low.
Yep.
And so his hands and his face get covered in mud and he's kept low.
He becomes the same ape.
Yep.
He becomes the same color as them.
I was like,
what? It's beautiful. Yeah.
I was like, they're fitting in like symbolism into this movie?
Yeah.
This is crazy. So yeah, really I thought that was really neat. It kind of folds into my next note, foils.
Yep.
Where each, the ape colony and the human colony each have their own representatives of the different, like Caesar and Malcolm was his name.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Where they're both like, they're trying to reach out
and
to
then
each
later,
other.
And then later,
kind of Koba.
Commissioner Gordon.
Koba and Gary Oldman are like
yeah.
the gun crew. Like, yep. It's like a, it's a crazy thing.
It's just showing the connection between the apes. Like, there's a poignant part where he says, Caesar says, I never realized, or something like that, just how similar we are.
Right.
And the whole realization of I was trusting him because he was one of us when I should have been, he should have earned my trust.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not apes against humans. Mm. It's good versus bad.
Right.
And that's a really interesting part.
I mean, like, what, that's one of the cool things I like about the humans and the apes side is that, like, there is no bad guy in either side. Like, well, I look at...
Koba.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Koba's the bad guy.
He's an antagonist, though.
But Koba's behavior, when you look at the first movie,
yeah,
that's what he would become.
It's justified,
there is no other outcome for that character narratively except to be that person.
Yeah. Right.
And Malcolm. Malcolm must have lost a bunch of people to the simian flu, and now he just connects the apes with his family dying.
Yeah.
Well, not Malcolm.
Malcolm's
the Jason Clark character.
No, I don't mean Malcolm.
Maurice.
No, Maurice is the monkey.
Who are you talking about?
Maurice is Dr.
Zaius. I'm talking about the water worker guy who shoots Ash in the beginning of the movie.
Right.
I don't remember his name either.
Snape?
But that's the reason why he's so distrustful.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's made that connection.
I love it when Kerry Russell says to him, you can't blame the apes. Humans made this virus. And he's like,
well, you're hippy-dippy shit.
Yeah.
man, that's such classic mentality of people like him that I really liked about that.
That's how he would act.
Yeah. There are people like this today.
Yeah. Everywhere.
No, clearly, I would say the closest is Koba as a villain. But, you know, the scene where he's saying,
based
on his actions, the bit where he's saying, like, human work. He's pointing at scars.
Yeah.
Human work, pointing at scars. I mean, that tells me everything about Koba.
And Caesar makes a great observation of him. He says, the only thing humans taught him was hatred.
Right. So it's like, yeah, he's the most villainous, quote unquote, but he has every reason to act like that.
That's what makes most of the characters fantastic, is they all have motivation to be what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And
even
they're
sometimes
round
it's very
characters.
Simple. They gave a very tiny moment to Gary Oldman where it drew a chuckle in the theater. Do you remember when the power comes back on and Gary Oldman's iPad gets back on and it goes bling and he looks at it and then it's just so sad because that's his old life that's gone.
And he hasn't thought about it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, a hell of an ad for an iPad, right? Yeah? Survives
the ape apocalypse.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And 76 gas. That loudspeaker's still working.
Not as much as Transformers, but, you know, they had to.
Yep.
And the amount of Facebook notifications he's got since.
Are you okay?
The world is ending. The apes are crazy.
The apes are crazy. But here's a funny cat video before I... Oh, yeah, about.
Here's a selfie with an ape. Oh, God!
Speaking of that, I thought of, like, there's going to be so many funny memes now with, like, the apes with the guns. I don't know. Just thought there'd be a bunch of them.
Just like in general?
Yeah.
Like, we can start it.
Let's do it right now.
Yeah, we can do it right now.
Let me use my phone to videotape again. I'll buy another ticket, I'll watch, and I'll videotape with
there
my phone.
There we go.
And I'll never know.
I was distracted. I have a note here because I was distracted. The child in this film, when I saw him, I went, did they do CGI de-aging on Jay Baruchel? I did not recognize this child, but I'd seen him in another film. It's Cody Smith McPhee, who was in
another Matt Reeves movie.
Yeah, he was in Let Me In.
Yeah,
and he was in something else too recently. Was he?
That's Let Me In.
Yeah,
that's not Ender.
No,
it's not Ender.
He was in something else fairly recently after Let Me In.
Mm-hmm. He looked like a.
And when I heard that he was going to be in this movie, it left my brain because as soon as I saw him on the screen, I was like, holy. What did they do to Jay Baruchel to make him look like a child?
Couldn't you just hire a child? That's just so weird.
Like, so I guess they wanted to show off their CGI. They can't just do apes. They can just also do people. What else? Jordan, you got a line on this? What was he in recently? Cody Smith McPhee.
He's in a bunch of stuff. Paranorman.
Oh, was he the lead voice in Paranorman?
What did I see in
there
it?
There we go.
See physically.
There's
you saw him in Paranorman.
There's Dead Europe. A Birder's Guide to Everything, The Congress, Romeo and Juliet, Young Ones, The Wilderness of James, and then this.
Maybe it was a Romeo and Juliet
It must have been an older movie, The Road? He was in The Road.
He was in The Road, yeah.
He was the boy.
Were you thinking he was a younger version of the brother in that one movie with De Niro where they go to like Europe? What's that movie?
What?
Yeah,
De Niro and Michelle Pfeiffer.
Are you talking about the family?
Oh, the family. Yeah.
No, I knew that wasn't him.
I know, but he looks like he'd be like the younger brother of that kid.
Oh, sure. You know, I don't know what I'm thinking of. Because I remember also hearing Cody Smith was going to be in some other film, and I was like, that's weird. Like, I don't know, why is he in that film?
Mm.
So, yeah, so that was weird to me. No one else saw that?
I could see that.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, when I see a picture of him on IMDb, he doesn't look like that. I think it's just maybe the way they made him look in the movie.
I recognize those eyebrows anywhere.
he does look a little unnatural. I'll say that.
It's because no one would have that clear of skin in the apocalypse.
Right?
Yeah.
Even if you're an artist.
An aging boy would not look like that in the apocalypse.
Maybe he was a makeup artist. I don't know.
No.
I'm reaching here.
You're
I'm
reaching.
Trying to
that's
help.
Quite
he's,
a reach.
No, he's got the one skill in the apocalypse that doesn't work out for him.
Yeah.
He's a pickup artist.
Oh.
Jordan, have we gone through some of your notes there?
Yeah, basically. Bad at explosives was me not enjoying that. Because
Gary Oldman,
you set up the tower to fall with all those C4 explosives, and then it doesn't bring down the tower.
He was
good
still
job.
Setting it up.
He was still setting it up.
Yeah, they wanted to bomb stuff.
They wanted
it. It was like halfway done.
It didn't look. Yeah, he was working on fuses. Whatever. But also, I don't like the way that scene looked. It's too fake.
Mm-hmm.
All of the moving parts of the tower, the way it was
like the actual
falling,
visual effects of it.
Yeah, like oh, someone lands on this, and then it all falls. All of that.
Mm-hmm. He meant like,
we're
going to
tower
can explode. That's
the explosives
fake.
Where there's a scene in a battle where there's literally just a pile of barrels full of fuel outside of the town that desperately needs fuel, and Oldman shoots a rocket at it.
See, I don't have any problem with
that. That's video game logic.
I don't have any problem with that because, A, if they need more fuel, they'd be taking it to the tower, and if they were getting attacked, they'd just leave it and run into the castle gates like in medieval era,
right.
The town outside the town.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other thing is I saw I Am Legend and dude had that booby trapped up outside of his house. So I don't have a problem with them leaving barrels out in defense of their town because I'm sure they've been defending against humans at one time or another.
Sure.
And you would need defenses, just not that gate. Because when the shit hit the fan, you need some barrels that explode.
Are you saying defenses?
You got to swing for defenses.
Defenses.
All right. So you talked about how bad the explosions right at the end look. I want to talk about that fight scene right before.
Ooh, ape-on-ape action.
Because as soon as... I loved that it was an unfinished tower.
Yep.
Because it's a construction scene.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Two apes are fighting in a construction scene.
Yeah, I know.
I was like, Donkey Kong?
It was nice.
Donkey Kong,
nice.
Yeah, Donkey Kong in here.
And especially...
Where is he? He's going to throw a barrel.
That also harkens back to... King Kong up on top of a tower and the fact that they're covering the entire tower with apes, you know,
and then,
put all those together, you got one big ape.
It actually also even harkens back to that is a
that's
one
apes,
big
you do.
That's
that was Transformers
ape.
Right there.
It's like, it's like a Voltron of apes, which is apes.
Exactly.
It
also harkens a lot to the ending of Battle for the Planet of the Apes. Actually the movie takes a lot of inspiration from Battle of the Planet of the Apes. There's also a in the Caesar's ranks, there's also an ape that kind of goes too far in his thinking. In Battle Planet of the Apes, he's kind of a lunkhead. Like imagine a football hooligan. Like that's like a general, like a guerrilla general, as opposed to Koba, who's a character. And and the humans are mutants. I don't know. It's not a very good movie.
I can go for that.
Yeah.
It was the fifth one in 5 years. So.
Yeah. But anyway, the finale does have the gorilla and Caesar having a version of their kind of like high up battle themselves where they're one-on-one, except they're on a tree.
Hmm.
So it's kind of neat to see, like, I'm sitting there watching the construction fight and I go, I see what you did here.
That's cool.
That's neat. Yeah, it's subtle. Like, it's not as obvious. And
because you were saying in Rise you didn't like all of the nods. They were too numerous. And this was more of a slight nod.
It's a slight nod.
They did something like that in Rise where like the soccer mom is running down the taking her jog down the street and all of a sudden you see a bunch of the leaves falling and it's like, oh yeah, like our environment is kind of suitable for them. There's places where they can climb and everything. So have them fighting in that construction yard makes sense.
Yeah. And it's also really short. And also, I'm going to be real truthful. The fight's much better in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
In battle, it's a lot of, I'm going to go on this branch. All right, I'll go on that branch. All right, cool. Well, I'm going to go on this branch. Fine. I got this branch. And I'm like, this is taking 12 hours.
Think how many hours they took to film that.
I mean,
days.
It's a real-time shoot.
Oh.
Yeah, you didn't know that.
No.
A little more information on you.
Yeah, I like the fight a lot. It's just, like, those are just some durable apes.
That was pretty badass, dude.
Because they are...
They got the special serum in them.
Yeah, the spear makes them smarter. Not stronger.
It's like Lucy. They use all their brains so they can stop bullets and and do math or something. All
right. Yeah, because there was a scene where Caesar just stood on one of the street and said, no. And just all the bullets stopped?
Yeah.
I want it.
Don't tell me things I can't have.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to spoil too much here.
I'm just going to let you know Caesar dies.
All right, well.
He dies Superman style, though. It's okay. Yeah, it's a... You know, and the ending, I'd say it leaves it pretty open.
Yeah.
I'd say they could go a lot of different directions.
I like that. Yep. I like the shot, though.
Yeah.
Oh, that ending shot? Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Like more color symbolism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, man.
And it was a fidelity scene.
Yeah.
Or fealty. I'm sorry, not fidelity. High fidelity. A fealty scene.
Fidelity National Bank.
All of the apes were once again pledging their loyalty to him. And just the shot, the lighting, the way all the storefronts were down, the fact that he was on a raised platform, it was very regal.
Yeah.
And then it just shows him finally taking his... Because up to that point, he's a family man trying to protect his family and trying to lead his people in the right direction.
Yeah.
And at this point, he becomes like the war chief. He understands that he's come to a place where there's nowhere else to go, and he just needs to lead his people into whatever comes.
Yeah.
And that, it just shows... Because it's just golden. That whole scene is just golden. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and I wanted to note about the flow of the film. It kind of gets it. The film moves at a good pace, and as soon as you get kind of like tired of something, not even tired. It's before you've been tired of an environment. They've already moved on to the next thing, or they've said, let's put this character here, or let's move them over this way, or let's change this part of it.
And it does it in a logical manner. We're set up with the apes in the beginning.
Right.
Then it flows down into how they hunt. Mm. Then it shows the humans being introduced and how all of the adverse stuff starts happening from there. And then we see the humans go back and their settlement and how they're living. And then it goes, like, it takes a logical narrative step. Every move from character to character, from people to people, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And that's why it flows so well, because it's not just cutting to another thing because it needs to cut and it needs to give you some other narrative, set piece. It makes sense the way it flows. And that's why it feels good.
There's a lot of purpose to everything. Yes. Nothing. There's not a lot of fat in Dawn.
It didn't feel like 2 hours and 10 minutes.
No.
No. That, like, there were very few times where I'm like, you could cut that. Like the opening scene or the opening little map with the laser thingy. You didn't need that.
Right.
Well, that was like a...
They could have just done that through dialogue.
Direct continuation from the literal
previously
the
on
movie.
A Planet of the Apes movie.
You could just cut the two together and it would be like seamless.
Yeah, that would be the intermission where you could go get popcorn.
Sure.
What was I going to bring up? I personally liked the human stuff because I could see the connection there, and because I loved The Last of Us so much, that world is 100% The Last of Us. Like,
you're right.
Every single time you were in someone's room, I saw exactly how they lived in that room. I saw how they got their water, where they kept their medical supplies, everything looked dilapidated but lived in. And there was such an attention to detail because all of the ape stuff was very CGI heavy and the forts were really cool, but it was all CG. Whereas whenever we were in a human place, everything was very lived in and very dirty and very run down, but you can tell everything was methodically done.
Yeah.
And it looked fantastic.
Yeah, I thought that when they went back to Caesar's house and I don't know. Was anyone surprised that they were going to go back there? At any point in time?
I wouldn't say surprised. I think I saw hints in the trailer. I was suspecting it.
Okay.
But I will say that when they get there, I was surprised. It's funny because before I went to watch Dawn, I rewatched Rise one more time. When they got there, it hit me a little emotionally harder than I thought it was going to hit me. Because you realize, like, it's one of the cool things about the sequel is that it doesn't feel like the last movie. But then here's the moment to remind you the last movie still happened.
Yep.
And it hits you like a ton of bricks.
The scene
where he goes to feel safe.
Yeah.
That whole with James Franco on the camera. Is that what you're about to bring up?
Yeah. The scene where he's teaching him sign language.
And then this is your home. This is your home.
You grew up there.
And I'm not going to lie. Caesar was tearing up. I was tearing up.
Yeah. Well, no, it's...
I was like, oh, man. This is where he learned to love.
Yeah. Well, and it's just—it's also thing you realize that like Franco's character is not in the movie
at all.
I mean, like, it's you accepted it. You know he was in the poster and in the trailer, but it hits you now. It's like, oh my gosh, he's not there.
And maybe a lesser narrative would have him be in the film at some point.
Yeah,
he'd be a part of.
Well, he'd be get one to the house of the and he'd immune. Be hiding out in the house. That'd right. be like yeah. the dumb moment where he comes out.
I was
like,
waiting for you to come home.
You came back.
And because narratively it makes sense that he doesn't make it. Because A, he's a part of the scientist group that makes the simian flu.
Yeah, right. He was next to the simian flu yeah. like
so,
the whole time
and,
being
and,
made.
And it's so astronomically impossible that he'd be the one in 500 that is yeah. immune.
And still living in his house.
Exactly.
In San Francisco.
Or even because it would make sense that he'd be with the survivors at the tower. Sure. But that would be too cheap.
Right.
It would have Caesar showing up at the tower, and then all of a sudden James Franco is there, and it would be that moment. That's
end credits done.
Yeah, exactly. this is a stronger narrative for not doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, never at any point, I even thought this was going to happen at some point, but never at any point in the film does anyone go like, oh, yeah, you're that smart ape. Yeah. You're that ape. I heard about you.
At the very beginning, yeah, because so much time has passed.
Right. Yeah, nobody, like, it never reached a point where, like, he was mythical, like a mythical ape.
Ironic, though, ironically, in battle,
right.
there was mutants who went, hey, it's Caesar!
Oh. Okay.
Like, there is, in fact, because it is a lesser sequel, weird. There is a fact, there's, like, the main human mutant bad guy was like, Caesar, yeah, he was the talking ape.
I remember him.
Does he ever say his name to Malcolm? Because at one point, Malcolm calls him Caesar.
I think yes. he heard Koba.
Koba call him Caesar?
Some people called him Caesar.
Okay. Because I was like, wait, how does he know his name?
Call him Caesar. Every moment where they're hanging out, maybe they had a bro chat.
I know, but I was worried when he all of a sudden calls him Caesar that he was going to be like, I'm James Franco. You know what I mean? Like, I know you. I just didn't want to tell you.
Takes
you know what I mean?
Jason Clark mask.
Like, no,
Franco.
This is older, grizzled James Franco.
Grizzly Adams James
Yeah,
Franco.
And just Caesar doesn't recognize him, and that's why he had such a connection to the apes. I'm so glad when they didn't do that.
No.
Yeah. Okay. I tried to make this connection, and I don't know if it worked. There were some Red Dawn moments to me. Does anyone get this?
Remake Red Dawns or good Red
Dawns? No. In that
Red Dawn of the Apes.
You know, the Americans are the Americans, and then the apes are the Russians, and they're invading their surface.
I was like, because
my mind went there only because I was like, oh, I was bored when it wasn't with Caesar, so I started trying to like. Say, oh, what is it saying about like military life and family and military? And I was like, oh, there's kind of like parallels to like what it's like to be a soldier. I was stretching so far.
The only time, see, I didn't have.
And
to
so
do
then
that got
me to Red Dawn.
Yeah. See, maybe if there was more than one shot with the American flag, because there was only one shot with the American flag, and it's during the battle.
Yeah.
When after they explode the barrels. One of the is it Koba or somebody starts walking out on the flagpole
that's
Koba, coming
yeah.
off of a
yeah,
building.
Yeah, it's Koba,
and he's standing above the American flag. That's the only patriotic moment in the whole film.
But that to me, I was just like, oh, that's them saying here's more symbolism of that, like man and ape are one and the same.
Mm.
Yep.
I, like that could have just been the White House for all I'm concerned.
Right?
How did they get over to D.C.? Why do I sound like Jimmy Stewart?
You might find out in the sequel. I think the sequel. Yeah. If they make another one of these, which I'm pretty sure they are.
What did I say it was going to be called?
There's no name yet.
No. What did I say it was going to be called? Because when we were talking about Koba, I want Revenge of Koba. He's coming back. he'll be back.
But they could easily go to any other city.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They could easily continue with Caesar and his children.
They could
go a lot of different directions.
I want them to do what they did with this movie because... what movie came out recently that just... Like, The Raid. The Raid starts almost the moment after the last one ends. I'm happy that this one was 10 years or more later.
But it still felt like that next moment.
It was
at the end of the last one...
It was
one,
a continuation.
Was,
yeah.
They left, and then this is what they've done since then. Mm-hmm. It was a logical step. I want them to do that. I don't want them to be in the San Francisco stronghold waiting to be attacked.
Right.
I want him to have led his people somewhere, and now there's... Because if the humans show up and the monkeys and the apes are not there... Like, they wouldn't follow them, would they? I mean...
Like, they wouldn't know where to go.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So, and I think Caesar, based on this movie and his introduction of his character, he'd be smart enough not to go back to that forest.
Right.
So where do they go?
Yeah, it's pretty burnt down.
That's no, yeah, it's all burnt down now. But luckily, he's got most of his people who didn't
die
in
the
battle, right?
Yeah.
So let's see where they went. Mm-hmm. Don't show me how they get there. Let's get there and start the movie from there and
right.
how they build up again. Because if this movie is pointing in the direction of the older films, they're eventually going to be the dominant species.
Right.
So let's talk about how that happens. Because it's really easy to think that humans just kill each other out.
Right.
Well, I made
it's their own kind of purge.
Spoke after we watched the film. I made the comparison to the Night of the Living Dead films,
mm-hmm.
where you got Night of the Living Dead, which was like, oh, here's a beginning.
Yep.
And then you go to Dawn of the Dead, which is you see where people hide out.
Yep.
But then you go to Day of the Dead, which is about the military.
Yep.
So hypothetically, following that kind of structure, and given what one of the things mentioned at the end of this film,
mm-hmm.
It would be Day of the Planet of the Apes, and it would be Caesar builds up a military.
And I think
that would be a smart move.
I think that's really simple, because if the simian flu is based off of the aerosol version of the gas that made them smarter, then not only are the humans dying from it, but apes all over the world are getting smarter.
Right.
So that means all he has to do is make a caravan across the USA in different parts of the world, and he will just be picking up other smart apes who have created societies around the world and teaching them to, you know.
Maybe they'll go to New York?
It was Earth all along.
Let's reference New York some more.
But you see what I mean? Like, that's a logical step based on the universe that they've set up with this widespread flu.
In the third one, if they didn't have Caesar, but they did, like, have one of his son? Like his oldest son mm-hmm. was the new...
What was his name?
Blue Eyes.
And I had to look that up, because
Because Caesar's mother is Bright Eyes.
Yeah. Right. Yep.
Then there's Caesar, then there's Blue Eyes.
Well, and his friend Caesar, is Ash, which is Rocket's kid.
But Caesar is Bright Eyes, right?
No, Caesar's mother was Bright Eyes.
No. What do they call him in the Rise? Green Eyes.
They have green flecks in their eyes. That's why the mother was called Bright Eyes.
Yeah.
But in the first one, he's called Bright Eyes.
No, that's Caesar.
That's the mother.
Yeah.
Caesar was called Caesar.
Caesar was called Caesar.
Bright Eyes is his wife. Eyes is his son.
No.
And they
Caesar's
didn't
wife is Cornelia.
Oh, it's Cornelia.
Nice.
Yeah.
She was supposed to be in the first one. They just cut her part out.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But do you think if Caesar wasn't in the third one, do you think Andy Serkis would still be like, take on the and be?
Was Andy Serkis Blue Eyes? Does anyone?
No. Andy Serkis was not Blue Eyes.
No, it was someone else.
It was another actor.
They'd bring him back for something else.
I mean, here's the thing, like
some guy named Nick Thurston. Who is this man?
Here's the thing, like Roddy McDowell played Cornelius, and he also played his son Caesar as well. So it would not. It would be very almost appropriate to have Andy Serkis come back play. Adult. A blue eye.
This is Blue Eyes. Does he not look like Adam Brody right here?
He's just a TV actor.
Yeah. And keep in mind, he has another kid, too.
Yeah.
Another son.
Unnamed,
who could be named Cornelius.
Yeah.
Or Zerer. I don't know.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's terrible. Don't do that.
So I think we all enjoyed this film a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was an earnest enjoyment.
Except him.
Yeah.
Well, you would say less humans, but I think that's...
Yeah, he wants the master cut where just all the human parts are cut out.
You know how, like, in Transformers, I like the parts where the humans were on screen, and then I hated the part of Transformers?
Yeah. Inverse?
Inverse. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Also, this is a movie. White Irish Drinkers.
That sounds like your kind of film.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, but definitely worth checking out. I didn't like it as much as the first one, just because I thought that was really cool that it was a different take, and you saw the age progression of Caesar, and like, I got to attach him. I thought it was because as a kid I loved Curious George, so this is my new Curious George.
Oh, so it touched you in that little...
You're damn right.
You were like, where's the man in the yellow hat?
Were you hoping that Franco will go to the closet and just put on a giant hat?
And...
Let's go for a walk.
You'd have Will Ferrell's voice.
He took him for a walk.
Has someone done that, like the Curious Caesar, like a fan art of that? If not, someone's got to do
it. I want
that it.
T-shirt.
Copyright, right?
Copyright,
now.
No.
Curious Caesar.
T-period. Someone.
He walks around with a spear.
Yeah. There we go.
All right, so that's our review. Thank you for listening. No, I'm just kidding. We still got to do Guess the Ending.
You know, I was gonna roll with it.
I know you were. Tell us, Matthew.
I can tell you anything.
What's new in theaters this week?
Let me get to the app that has that information. Let me scroll down to it. It's
What's
loading
new with
document.
Jordan hitting his microphone today?
Jordan, how many times?
I've got too much stuff around me.
Okay.
I just realized I surrounded myself and stuff.
New in theaters this week, we have Sex Tape.
No, what? That's your personal list.
Oh.
Yeah. No. Wrong list.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Oh, I see. It's right here. New in theaters this week, Naughty Nurses 9.
Oh, dear.
Thank you. Right.
No, actually, it was the first list.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
But Naughty Nurses 9, right?
Yeah.
See, I think the first 8 were all right, but I think the 9th one's going to really bring it back home.
Well, I mean, they've taken the characters this far.
Right.
You know, we just got to find out what's making them naughty now.
Well, I know exactly. Well, I love the sexy nurse outfits.
The third nurse finally became a doctor.
I know. Great
she was in school for so long.
It needed to go to that direction.
Yeah.
You know? Her and that doctor.
I heard they're going to do a spin-off, Dirty Doctors.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch that.
No.
Really?
No. So, like, yeah, I don't need
I like this story. If they just add to it, it's going to be just too much.
Right.
Much too much.
Much too much. Anyway.
That's a movie, right? Much too much.
It's that and Furious Liaisons are real films, guys.
With the two being the number two.
Furious Liaisons?
Yeah, Furious Liaisons.
That's amazing.
It was a Douglas Movies thing.
Oh,
where they couldn't come up with, they were trying to connect on a build a title. They couldn't connect. But of course, they were thinking of Dangerous Liaisons, but they didn't fit, so it was Furious Liaisons.
Much too much. They are brothers. They are a team of badass brothers whose names happen to end in Much. You know, their last names are Much.
The Thomas Much?
John and Tom Much. Yeah. It's like Double Dragon. Yep. Something like that.
Yep. And their boss is Mayor or May Not.
Okay, what's new in theaters? Come on, for real, let's do this. Come on, Pharrell, let's do this.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Yeah, you don't have your hat on.
The Mounties are going to sue you.
Sex tape with my wife. The Purge. Anarchy. Planes, Fire, and Rescue.
Lots of colons.
Wish I Was Here. That's in limited release. Also in limited release. I should have taken out those parentheses. Moon Indigo, limited release. Again, I'll say that.
All right. Before we guess the endings, let's give some thanks and promote ourselves. Our theme song is called Sophomore Makeout. It's by Silent Partner, who is a contributor to the Y'all.
Y'all!
YouTube Audio Labrador.
Get it on that YouTube. They've got a library of audio files.
So check that out. Thanks, YouTube, for providing free music and stuff. Our logo is from our very own right here, Justin Keyson.
Oh, hey.
That guy sucks.
That's right.
He
is terrible.
What do you do, Justin, on the internet?
Besides make logos for podcasts, I'm a regular writer and contributor to agentsofguard.com.
Explain.
It's your one of many. No, I'm just kidding.
The only.
The only website.
Your one-stop
the
shop.
Only website that ever covers movies and video games.
For $49.95 in three installments.
Comics sometimes. And even comics. No. It's a site run by me and six of my other friends. We write daily blog posts about different movies, video games, and the comics that we're really into. Your own Andrew here has contributed to several articles.
I wouldn't say he's ours, technically.
Yeah.
Someone's Andrew, as well as Matt Benson.
They call me the solo Andrew.
The solo Andrew.
Yeah, we were legal guardians, and then we emancipated him.
Ooh, ouch.
And he got picked up by a Brazilian court.
Yeah. Why, you know, okay. It's Agents of Guard, agentsofguard.com. And
oh, by the way, you didn't know that, did you?
Oh, right. Well,
spoilers for your life.
You told me they died in a car accident. No, we just didn't want you anymore.
Shut up, Leonard. Yeah, thank you. That's a podcast that I do with Matt Benson, where we talk about Community. Every episode of the podcast, we talk about one episode of Community. We're going through season 2 right now. We were overjoyed that season 6 is going to be happening, so that'll be right in the flow. We started with season 4, then we did season 1. Now we're on season 2. We're going to do... And then we did season... Wait, hold on.
Nope.
Back to reverse
season,
that.
Season 4.
Scratch that. 4.
Flip it.
1.
Twist it.
5. And now 2.
2. And then bop it.
6. And then 3.
Yeah.
That's the order that we're going to do it because that's the way that God intended. So if you just jump in now, we're doing season 2, but you can actually just go back and listen to any of them and we'll recap and review your favorite episodes of Community.
I have a title for this episode. It's Biblical Babblings.
No. You should like it on Facebook and Twitter and all that. Shut up, Len Pod.
Twitter?
Yep. If Tom was here.
Where are all the white women at?
That's what Leonard
that's
says.
Not what Tom would
not
say.
Not what Tom would say. What would Tom tell us about if he were here?
Oh, I'm an equal opportunity lover.
Were here. That was a movie title earlier, remember?
I thought you were doing that song.
My mood is indigo.
OpticGuide.org, MeetWave.com.
You should also vote for us on PodcastLand.com. Every month they do the Podcast of the Month contest. All you have to do is go vote. Go to PodcastLand.com. Or we'll put a link in the description for you to click through right to our show page. You just put in your email and you click vote and you do it. You can check out other podcasts on the Benview Network at BenviewNetwork.com. That includes Popsicles.
Pop!
Pillage Cast.
Pillage.
Matt and Brenda's Wrestling Show.
Wrestling.
Picture Start with Derek Armijo.
Armijo.
And I'm out. Midnight Marinara.
Nope, not comic book.
Oh, you got it.
Nope.
Comic Nerds Unite.
Thank you.
That's what they're calling themselves now. They used to be Nightwing, Lois Power Girl. Now they're Comic Nerds Unite.
Now,
check them out.
Is this a podcast about comedians who just, like, it's a union?
Don't try and act like you're confused.
Because when I tried to say the name of the podcast, I was confused because I wanted to say Comic Book Nerds.
He doesn't need to act it. We've got it.
CBNU, they call it.
And then also the Extra Damage Cast.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, but that's those are all good shows. Go check them out on BenjaminNetwork.com. Also, our personal website, NEVpodcast.com. That's where you can find all of our shows. Or just go to...
no, that's BenjaminNetwork.com. You can find all our shows there.
Well, all
you
of
can
our
find
episodes.
Oh, episodes.
But okay. You can also go to BenjaminNetwork.com/NEV. That will take you just straight to us. Because we're the best part of that website. And we are looking for your local video stores. Please email us, NEVpodcast@gmail.com. We would appreciate that. Greatly.
Andrew, I'd like to challenge you to something.
You can also listen to us on Stitcher. I never mentioned Stitcher.
Yeah, we used to have that. Yeah, we got it there still.
I should still mention it because we're still there.
Do they have you in Stitches?
No, but you can stream it on Stitcher.
Okay.
After the episode, you'll be in pieces, and you can use Stitcher to stitch
yourself back together.
No, my challenge is next week, can you read these ads like the Micro Machine guy?
The who?
Micro Machine guy.
Micro Machine?
Micro Machine. Don't you remember those Micro Machine commercials?
Kinda.
Oh,
yeah. I can try that. Because I always think that these are too long.
I
these
concur.
Go for like 7 minutes.
I concur. You should do it like that.
Because I always get interrupted.
He was also the math teacher on Saved by the Bell.
And then I started looking at stuff on the internet.
As I look at no one in particular about the interruptions of my promos.
Do you want to hold hands?
Other promos.
Do you want to hold hands?
Click.
Shut up and click.
Shut up and scroll. All right, so that's it.
Scroll yourself out of here.
It's now time for Guess the Ending. You'll never guess how it ends. Who's
Caesar
up first?
Dies.
Looks like Jordan's up first. Jordan, tell us about the film you're going to guess the ending.
All right, let me close Twitter. All right. The Purge Anarchy, directed by James McConico.
Monaco.
The monocle.
Yep, monocle. Damon Onicle.
Good, very good, good.
Frank Grillo, Carmen.
Oh, Frank Grillo.
I saw him in the trailer and I was like, I know that guy.
Okay. He was in Captain America.
Zach Guilford and Kaylee Sanchez. A couple are driving home to their kids when their car runs out of gas. Just as the purge commences. You think they'd plan better.
Yeah.
Meanwhile,
it's
Leo
only an annual event where many murders happen.
It's only the worst thing to ever happen in your life. Once a year, maybe you don't want to be on the road.
Yeah, maybe you just don't go outside.
Maybe go back to your castle. I don't know.
Because
castle doctrine's a real thing. Meanwhile, Leo goes out into the streets to get revenge on the man who killed his son, and a mother and daughter run from their home after assailants destroy it.
Which Leonardo DiCaprio movie do you think that could be? Him having a son killed. There's some sort of storyline you could just continue.
That would be the one with...
Is that Gangs of New York, maybe? No.
No, because he is the son.
Oh, all right.
This has
been Nerd's Eye View.
Meet up as they attempt to survive the night in Los Angeles. So the movie starts off with these five people.
Yeah.
Right. They're pretty much out in the wilderness known as L.A. And for some reason... It looks like The Last of Us, the video game, and or Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Shit's gone bad.
Real bad.
This purge is messed up. It's kind of a Silent Hill effect where the purge happens, and instead of everything turning to metal grates and like heavy metal imagery, it just vines overgrow and grass comes up, and it just becomes crazy. So they go out there.
I thought you were done. I was like, wow, that's really abrupt.
Yeah, and they all die. So they're going out. They're trying to, survive. There's roving bands of maniacs trying to kill them. One of them has this object that everyone wants. No one knows that he has it, though. Once they find out, they're all trying to come after him. Right? You okay?
I'm just trying to wait.
You're trying
to
figure it out,
what
right?
Film that you're ripping off as you do.
So they keep making it. They've got to travel from one place to the next. They leave Los Angeles. They go to, you know, Texas. They go from one city to the next, one state to the next, trying to find a way because the object he has in his pack is so important, right? Eventually, they come across some giraffes. It's this beautiful moment because they haven't seen anything beautiful in a long time because everyone's just been killing each other no matter where they go, right? Now, eventually, someone tries to take the object away from them. And Leo messes them up. People try and tell him it's for a good purpose. It's to help everyone because they believe that this will end the purge. They find this object. Right?
Just keep going. Come on.
So he kills everyone that comes after it. And eventually he finds a safe place. They eventually take the object. They reprint it. And they give it out into the world. And then Leo finally passes away. And that's how the Bible gets back out to the world.
Oh, this is that stupid Denzel movie where...
That's not a stupid movie.
He turns out he's blind, but he can still kill everybody.
Yeah, Leo's blind the whole time.
The Book of Eli. That's the one.
I take it over Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Plus a little bit of The Last of Us. That
right
is The Purge.
Really? Giraffes were in Book of Eli? That was the part in Book of Eli?
No, they were in The Last of Us.
Oh, okay.
I combined the two stories.
Okay. Yeah. You should play The Last of Us. It's pretty great.
That fucking game is amazing.
I'm going to wait for the movie.
No.
The game is a movie.
If you do, I'm going to smack you in the face.
Right in your...
And that's The Purge Anarchy. True story, that's what happens.
True story.
Yeah, it's based on a real event. It's going to say based on true events at the beginning of the movie.
Hmm. All right, Justin, tell us about your chosen film here.
Okay. So the movie is Planes, Fire and Rescue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the long-awaited sequel to Planes. I know everyone's been waiting for that one. So, director.
Oh, those are the same movies? Same universe.
Oh, my. Catch up with me, man. It's all right. Now, director Robert Genoway, starring the illustrious Dane Cook, Ed Harris, Julie Bowen, and Curtis Armstrong. When Dusty learns that his engine is damaged and he may never race again, he joins forces with fire and rescue helicopter Blade Ranger and his team, the Smoke Jumpers, to battle a massive wildfire. All right, so... we find out that the wildfires are actually created by an anarchist plane. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's like really hardcore. Ooh. And it's like an army of them.
I like anarchy planes.
Yeah. Anarchy. Yeah. No, that's how they sound like. You've seen it then. Okay. So
that's what Ed Harris is doing the voice.
That's
what
he's doing.
Planes.
The anarchy planes. Yeah. And, and it's hardcore. It's like the end. It's like Cars 2 hardcore, where all the cars are blowing up. That's how hardcore Planes ends.
What was going on there?
No, right? Like, it's just like violent. It's the same thing with Planes.
Crazy. Children have to learn about death somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, especially with plane death. Yep.
They got to make it more confusing, though, because it's also a recycling issue.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Need a hero there. So, so Dusty straps on some guns to his body and starts fighting back in like this massive battle. It's in this like fire mixed with like
does he
thing.
Fight fire with fire?
Yeah, he does. Look at that, we're good. Now he thinks he's the last one left. There's no one else there to help him, and then he sees like a couple more, like a Han Solo in the sky. Someone shoots down more of the anarchy planes, and we see it's Mater from Cars, who strapped wings, and he comes like, "Don't worry, Shub. It's all clear." Boom, and they fly off, and it's the end of the movie, which leads into Planes up in space.
Wow!
Yeah, wow. Go see it.
All right, Matt.
Okay, so I have chosen Wish I Was Here, directed by Zach Braff, starring Zach Braff, Joey King, Pierce Gagnon, and Kate Hudson.
I like Kate Hudson.
She's an...
I like Kate Hudson. Hudson?
She's all right.
That's too quick for me. Yeah. I get a little more prolonged. Aiden Bloom is a 35-year-old man who finds himself at major crossroads, which forces him to examine his life, his career, and his family. So, you know, His examination of his life, he's examining his career and his family. He's like, man, I'm just career-oriented or I'm family-oriented. My life, ugh, I hate it. This shit sucks. I don't want to do family anymore. I don't want to do career anymore. And what they don't tell you in this little synopsis here, and you don't see it in the trailer, but one day he's, you know, sitting up at the attic and he's looking at his old memories, you know, his keepsakes and whatnot. And he comes across this old wooden mask. And he puts it on. And he becomes this superhero that, you know, he dances. Everyone has covered their face and is shaking their heads right now. He dances a lot. He likes to smoke.
See, it's really in cartoons. Oh, yeah. All right. Pension for yellow suits.
The end.
All right. I've got...
I'm sorry. I started this trend. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I know. This is my fault.
Uh-huh.
I know.
All right. Here we go. Mood Indigo. It's a film directed by Michel Gondry.
Oh.
Starring Romain Dervis. Audrey Tautau.
Tautau.
Gad Imalala.
Egad.
And Omar Sy. The description. Wealthy, inventive, bachelor, Colin, endeavors to find a cure for his lover, Chloe,
ow,
after she's diagnosed with an unusual illness caused by a flower growing in her lungs.
What the fuck?
Oh!
No.
It's unusual.
I read it, but when he said it out loud, I couldn't hold that back anymore.
Here we go!
All right.
So, Michelle,
so she's in a hospital, and the doctor's like, we don't know what to do. We can't do anything.
It's in her lungs.
Like, all right, I'm rich. I'm gonna, and I love this woman. So I'm gonna dedicate a wing of my house to so that she can stay with me, and so that I can, you know, check in on her and have my own personal array of doctors come do their work. And so he does that, and so he's checking on her like all the time, and he's like, I don't know how to do this. So he decides he's going to personally research, you know, biology and plants and physiology, and he's going to figure out what caused this and how to fix it. And so he's right there. He's doing all the work, and she's kind of like sickly, and she can't really move or talk. And then it comes to a point where he starts doing maybe a little bit of an illegal thing where he's trying to get drugs from the hospitals that he's not supposed to get, and he's trying to figure out, you know, what's the proper mix of chemicals, and he's trying to get it just right. And eventually, he's got his array of chemicals going on, and he's mixing it, and he thinks he's got it. He's got the perfect mix to get this plant so it doesn't fight her but becomes one with her symbiotic system. He wants to join human and plant as one using this special serum.
Oh my god, I know this.
But then an accident occurs where the serum spills on him. And he's like writhing on the floor.
He can.
And he's like, as long as I can make it through this. But then he comes out and he has become one with plants. And then you know, the camera zooms out of the window, and as the camera zooms out, you see that he lives in Gotham.
I knew it.
So this was actually a
Swamp Thing,
a poison ivy, male poison ivy.
I know, exactly.
yeah.
What would that be like if Michelle got?
Is his daughter named Ivy?
Yeah. Well, no, the lover, Chloe. Her nickname is Ivy.
Yeah. Pepper Ivy.
Don't even.
Ivy Pepper. Ivy Pepper.
Oh, I can't even get into that right now. Because I'm also mad that it's that Gotham, the TV show, is going with the version that his name is Edward Nygma. Like, could you be any more on the nose about what this guy is? It made so much more sense to me when he was called Edward Nashton.
Yeah.
Because that's also a reference to, wasn't it that guy who was, like, too smart for his own good? His last name was Nash or Nashton?
Yeah.
That's, like, a reference to that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that Beautiful Mind movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
Bootyful.
Mood Indigo, it's about poison ivy, so.
The unofficial Poison Ivy prequel that you've all been wanting.
Yeah, so if any of those endings are correct.
If any of those comic book movies.
Yeah. You can email us, anyvpodcast@gmail.com, and let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We're probably not going to review any of these films next week. So come back next week for a surprise.
Yep.
Surprise!
So thanks for listening. This has been episode 192 of Nerd's Eye View. I'm Andrew.
I am Matt.
I'm Jordan.
Nah, I'm just
Hail Caesar.
No, whenever he talks, we talk over him.
You never
just like that.
By
just
now,
whenever.
Like, every time you want to talk like that,
just talk over him.
That's fantastic.
Oh my God! 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 Oh my God!
I'm very proud of us right now.
This podcast is a part of the Benview Network.
You can find this and other podcasts like it at BenviewNetwork.com.